In my work, I've been keeping confronting historical issues because my grandmother survived Auschwitz and she was a resistant. And in France, she was not recognized by the French government as fighting for the French force, but as a Russian deported because Jewish. And it took her 20 years to be recognized. All life I've been about resistance. I think that's why I'm an artist.
Willkommen in Folge 42 von Die Sucht zu sehen, dem Griesebach-Podcast. Zu Gast ist heute der Maler Emmanuel Bornstein. In seinem Werk setzt sich der gebürtige Franzose mit der historisch-menschlichen Katastrophe des 20. Jahrhunderts auseinander und derzeit auch mit einer sehr aktuellen. Dieser Tage wollte er mit dem russischen Maler Wladimir Potapov eine gemeinsame Ausstellung in Russland eröffnen, das Thema Dialog in der Isolation. Doch nach der russischen Invasion in der Ukraine sagten die beiden alles ab und schrieben stattdessen einen offenen Brief, in dem sie die Situation in der Ukraine anprangern. Was das jeweils für sie bedeutet, denn Emmanuel Bornstein lebt in Berlin, Wladimir Potapov dagegen in Moskau, wie derzeit die Lage in der Moskauer Künstlerszene ist und warum auch Schweigen lauter Protest sein kann, das erzählt uns Emmanuel Bornstein jetzt. Und weil er sich im Englischen noch ein bisschen sicherer fühlt als im Deutschen, führen wir das Gespräch genau auf Englisch. Herzlich willkommen bei Die Sucht zu sehen, Emmanuel Bornstein. Emmanuel, you are a painter. You are born in Toulouse. You live in Berlin. You are a true European. Now there is a war going on in the middle of Europe. Putin has invaded the Ukraine. How does this affect you?
It affects me deeply. I mean, it's really shocking for everyone, I guess, in the world. And as I come from, as you say, like very European, as I come from a both family history from a European immigrant that flee one side Mussolini, the other Hitler, to arrive in France. This is something which is I take extremely seriously and that I bothering with all the time. And as a civilian, obviously, also I'm very, very concerned.
I read in the German papers that you decided to cancel an upcoming exhibition named Chronicles of Isolation that was scheduled in Russia. Tell us about that exhibition. Where exactly would it have been?
This is a show that would have opened the 10th of March and were at the State Art Museum Mira in Krasnoyarsk in Russia, nearby Siberia. And this is a show we planned for a long time with Vladimir Potapov. It's a duo exhibition, it's a joint exhibition on the artwork we collaborate together.
Yes, he's Russian, and, obviously.
He's Russian, Vladimir is Russian, and he's living in Moscow. And this is a project we start together in March, the 10th of March 2020, when the pandemic start and the first lockdown start in Europe and in Russia.
Okay, and what is it about?
The initial project, so the Chronicle of Isolation, is about our immediate reaction to the pandemic and to the lockdown. So we back to March 20, which means like we don't have like the 2 years and a half experience of what it is and what we will experience in the coming months, year. So it's a way for us, was a way to keep the dialogue and to see how in Berlin and for him in Russia things are happening daily. And so it's a very warm reaction. And this is for me only paperworks, as during the lockdown, the first lockdown, I was in Berlin, not in my studio, but in my apartment. And Vladimir has his apartment and studio together at once. So it was mixed between paperworks and small canvases. And the project was that we post every day. So that was first at all a social media project. So I was addressing to him a painting a day with a text, and he was responding to me.
So as you said, it was about dialogue.
It was about friendship and dialogue, yeah.
So now that you cancelled it, openly addressing the Russian government, what does that mean for you and what could it mean to Vladimir
For me, I mean, when we back then, like a week ago, when, because as I say, like this show has been traveling in Russia Gallery, like in the Popov Art Gallery, and then it was in the Perm Museum in Perm, and then it was scheduled to be in the Mira Museum in the Krasnoyarsk. When Saturday I realized what was happening and the invasion starts, I immediately realized that this exhibition cannot take place. It's just simply not possible because this is as progressist as are the person that I'm in contact, the curator and the director of the museum. It's a state museum, so it would have meant to show in a museum of Putin. And that was not an option. I mean, that was not a choice, simply. And as I say, bothering with this question of historical issue, but also relevant politically nowadays, that was like a clear line for me that this show cannot happen. But what was the question for me is, that's why I call immediately my gallerist, Markus Peichel from Chrono Gallery, and Sergei from the Popov Art Gallery in Moscow, and Vladimir Potapov. And we talked together, and we, so for me, the line was clear that I will not take part of this exhibition, but I didn't want to put Vladimir, as he's living in Moscow, at risk, or at least I didn't want to influence his decision. And I obviously changed, it has consequences, because then if he would have decided to show alone, that would have been a different statement. But for him, it was clear immediately, and I have amazing respect to his decision. It was immediately clear that this exhibition cannot take place for the exact same reason as mine, that it's a state museum. And therefore, we both decided to write a statement and to send it to the director of the museum and the curator of the museum and to make an open letter.
Yes. Are you and Vladimir in contact right now?
We are daily in contact. I mean, we always are in contact. As I say, it's like we are both artists and painter. And we have this dialogue going on since 2020. He's a friend of mine and I respect him as an artist, but also as a dear friend. We are always in contact, and especially this week, as we decided to both cancel the show and to go public with it. Of course, I was scared for what could happen to him, and I admire his courage, and I was like, I'm in contact with him like 3-4 times a day. We just swapped from WhatsApp to Telegram because I feel that it was the safest way to exchange. But yeah, I mean, like 10 minutes ago, I was still exchanging with him.
Mm-hmm. So what do you know about the Russian art scene at this moment? Do people actually know what's going on in Ukraine? Are they informed by what's happening?
I think the Russian art scene is mostly living in big cities like Moscow or St. Petersburg, and they are very aware of what's happening. They are one of the few that know more, I mean, intellectual and artist. And so Vladimir knows what happened, and a lot of his colleagues know what happened, and they exchange together mostly on Facebook or Telegram. But in the same time, there is a big, big state propaganda. And for example, Vladimir told me that he has two kids, and when they came back from school a few days ago, there has been a manual that have been given to all kids. They are primary school, explaining to them that there is no war in Ukraine, but just a peacekeeping action. So basically, this is like for all kids in Russia, they all get this information. So it's a huge brainwashing. One more thing is, all what I say, no, it's like not from my personal information. It's all come from Vladimir, whom I share some of your question, and we exchange a lot. And he has access with a VPN to all media. So every day is keeping him informed with all kind of news. So he has, with the VPN, access still to the press. But of course, at the moment, the government, Russian government, tried to minimize this by slowing down Facebook and Instagram. And it might be that in a couple of days, they have no more access to it. But at the moment, they have still access.
Yeah. Have you heard about Dasha Shukova closing her art space garage in Moscow, which is obviously pretty big? And what do you think about that? Because she addressed the war. She said that she can't keep it open when there is a war going on.
I think in the current situation, it is impossible to show exhibition planned in peacetime. And I think it's obvious for all people that are aware of what's happening. And I think it's a very good decision. And I know Garage, this is a great, great place. I mean, the first time I was in Russia, it was in 2014 when I showed there in the Young Art Biennale curated by David Elliott. And the Garage is one of the great museum that they have there. But this is not the only place, as I understood, that suspended exhibition activities this week.
Mm. So tell me about the power of silence at this very moment, because some people maybe would have done exactly the opposite, but for the same reasons, whereas you and others decide to close down, to remain silent. Is that a better symbol at the moment of protest?
Yeah, as I write in my statement, I think at the moment there is no other choice than to remain silent in Russia, especially to show in a state museum. Because at the end, it's, as I say at the beginning when we start to talk, to show in a, as progressist as the person walking, it's still like a state museum. So it's mean showing in for Putin. And I think this simply cannot happen. And especially for me, I think that in my work, I've been keeping confronting historical issues, because I came from a Holocaust survivor. My grandmother, the mother of my father, survived Auschwitz, and she was a resistant. Her family came from Poland, and she was born in 23 in France. So she was fighting in France, and she was deported for political and non-Russian reason and survived Auschwitz. And then it has been a long journey when she came back from the camp, because in France she had another Kafkaesque fight to do, as she was not recognized by the French government as being fighting for the French force, but as a Russian deported because Jewish. And it took her 20 years to be recognized and to finally get the Legion d'honneur. And then she passed away 2 years after being recognized. So her whole life I've been about resistance. And I grew up with this, and I think that's why I'm an artist, because of this woman. And so for me, it was never an option.
Yes. Your work is very personal, as you just pointed out. It deals with past and present, and you have access to archives about your family. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and how that inspires or infects or influences your work?
I think the influence of my grandmother, Carmen Siedlecki Bornstein, has been huge in my life and in my work. And I think what I've always tried to do is to understand, it's like the world is in pieces, and I try to understand, to make sense with these pieces of the world, to reconnect them together. And it all starts with the history of my grandmother, and I embrace it. I mean, I don't know if I even have the choice. Like when I was a little kid, my father, which his mother never could talk to him about what she went through, and she passed away when he was 19. Somehow he passed me a torch, artistic torch, to raise this question. Trauma goes from generation to generation, and we know more and more about that, and there was more science about this. And I think somehow that was what has been given to me. And I've been trying to deal with it, to cope with it in all my artistic journey. And that became my language. I mean, I cannot separate being an artist than to raise this question. Yeah. And of course, it always has been a way to question the contemporary world, the world we live in. And I think it sounds like more than ever something to do.
Mm. Tell us a little bit about your upcoming single exhibition in Kunsthalle Rostock, titled Wildwechsel. That will be big. What will it be about?
So the show Wildwechsel is so the whole project, the show in Rostock, starts a bit before because it's a partnership we had with the Conseil départemental de la Haute-Garonne, and it's like a show that has been exhibited in France, nearby Toulouse, where I was born, in a castle called Château de la Réole, which has like it's a museum program that show once a year an artist from half a year or like 4 or 5 months roughly, and the Kunsthalle Rostock. And the idea he was to show and go back to 2011 till now, so covering around 10 years, and showing the several series I've been working between France and Germany that are living here around like roughly 12, 13 years in Berlin. And there was a way to approach these different series and to show them all together. In the show, there is more recent works, for example, works that has been exhibited last year in Krone Vienna from the show Claims, that was ongoing and sharing thoughts with Deborah Feldman. And we were exchanging a lot for 1 year about the shows. And the show was very recalling. It has a very strong historical approach because it was all built around two figures, my father and my grand-grandfather, which was deported and died to Auschwitz. And in between, around these two men that looked at each other, it was a lot of painting that called Köln 1 to 4, which were painting of figures that are between ghosts or
Very
men without a face,
translucent.
very translucent, exactly, that were living amongst ghosts or phantoms and with a gaze, which is very, as you said, translucent. And these figures, they were melting to each other. They were like sometimes like caught in a fight or helping each other or supporting each other. And that was a way like to represent this figure coming out of trauma, dealing with the past, but also questioning the present. So there are in the show some works, for example, the Father Figure series that are representing those, my father and my grandfather are in the show, some Köln are in the show. But you also go back to series like which came from 2011, 12, 13. For example, The Dog, which is dealing with the Colosse from Goya, where the Colosse is changed into a Doberman. And there was also a way to deal with Second World War and this history as a symbol. And it's in the chaos of the world, and all the figures around are running away and caught in a traumatic state. And so this trauma is everywhere in the different series. For example, also in the Run series, which was exhibited, and now I'm back to Vladimir, because it was exhibited in the Curitiba Biennale in the Oscar Niemeyer Museum. And that's where I was one of the five or six artists that represent France. And Vladimir Potapov was representing, or one of the artists representing, the Russian pavilion.
This is how you met,
And
right?
that's, we met slightly before in Kunsthalle Rostock because he was also showing there. And the curator from the Biennale, the Curitiba Biennale, was curating a show from the Kabakov. And also he had a section in this exhibition. And this briefly before this, but then we spent time together with also Teresa de Arruda, which is the curator. And that's how we really spent time together. We were there for 10 days in Curitiba. And that's how the whole process of exchange starts. And that's how, I start to recognize an artist that I admire, and that we realize that we have similarities to approach and to deal with our own history. And he has a very, he deal a lot with Russian history and Soviet history and in his work, and to deal also with this towards the present and also in the, so seeing the dialogue start there, the friendship start there. And when we came back from Brazil, both were willing to continue this exchange. And so we were exchanging, painting, drawing, and say, okay, or could we start to do something together in this dialogue? And then COVID starts. And then we were, okay, I was like, Vladimir, I think, obviously, we don't want this pandemic, but I think this is the time to start this dialogue. So the decision was taken very fast, and the formality were also very, very fast. And that's how we start this exchange that lasts for 2 months and a half.
Will we be able to see it somewhere else?
Actually, we have the project, and we had the project before already, but the show or part of the exhibition that was supposed to be in the Krasnoyarsk and that we decided to cancel is supposed to be exhibited in Kunsthalle Dessau in June. And on top of that, we have planned with Marcus and Sergei to show Vladimir and I in Chrono Berlin, a new show, my gallery is exactly in Berlin in June as well, to all the summer, and with new works as a dialogue between the two of us. Obviously, nobody knows what's going to be happening till June, as I was talking with Vladimir today, and he's very concerned. And apparently, in the news, there is this more and more. In Russian news, that they will call martial law, which is, I think, Kriegsrecht in German, where all reservists will be called for the war. So it might be a chance that Vladimir is not official yet and it has to wait till tomorrow, but it might be a chance that he might be called as a reservist in the Russian army, which is like beyond tragic. So I'm extremely concerned. He is as well. But yeah, we will know more about this tomorrow. So therefore, to say about what's going to be June, it's way too far. But of course, if this martial law passed, he won't be able to come to Europe or to leave the country, obviously. But yeah, that's the project. And that's the project we have. And yeah, we are very supportive. The gallery team, Marcus Peichel and me, we're very, very supportive with our friends. Russian friends, and we support the. I think it's extremely important that there is a strong response in Russia, and I think there is one, and that's we support because they're very, very, very brave. They put, as you say, their life in danger.
Emmanuel, thank you very, very much to talk about all this in extremely hard times. We wish the very best for you and, of course, Vladimir Potapov. And yeah, hope for a brighter future.
Yeah, hope so too. But I say Vladimir try to remain optimistic, and yeah. So if he tried that, I'll try my best too.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Das war Folge 42 von Die Sucht zu sehen. Wir danken Emanuel Bornstein, freuen uns schon auf unsere nächsten Gäste und natürlich auch auf Sie. Alle 14 Tage neu auf grisebach.com, Spotify, Apple, YouTube und überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.